Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
This morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, let us all say amen. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. God, oh Lord, I'm just so glad to be here. Thank God for our pastor. It's a humbling station to stand. Thank God for you, God's property, this morning. You know, I was listening to all the songs, and oh, it was just ministering to me. And it came to me that the message is in the music. They're singing gospel to you. And if you really listen to that music and apply it to your heart, the message has been preached this morning. I feel like my little lesson I have to bring is something God gave me, but it was right in time with what the pastor set the temple for and the theme of things, because it seemed like we as Christians suffer from spiritual amnesia. You wasn't supposed to make it through the last thing you went through. Amen? You wasn't supposed to survive the last sentence you got. But we forget where God has brought us from. We forget that God has delivered us in spite of us. How many didn't think he wasn't going to make it? Let everybody use them death sentences on themselves. I was sick to death. I was so broke I couldn't see up. But God says, as long as you trust me, and whatever you ask in my name, it shall be done. What a good God we serve this morning. Hallelujah. I thank God for health and strength. I thank God for my wife. You know, sometimes we need to sit back and see what God has done so we can understand what he's about to do. Amen. Anybody believe that? Amen. That's the deal, is that he's about to do some great things for us. You know, I've been, you know, the old song, I've been saved all day. Well, you know, I've been trying to live saved. I really work at it. You know, I'm an old man, so you know, you don't think I can get anything. I can get in some stuff. I can get myself in some stuff. But thank God we have an advocator called Jesus Christ who is able to forgive, forget, and set things aside. The first thing that we have to understand with forgiveness, it is free. Most of us want to go and paint the church. As soon as we get saved, we want to do all the works. But it's free. Does that make sense? Salvation is free. And the biggest thing about forgiveness, you got to learn how to forgive yourself. And this is salvation 101 I'm talking about. Once you get past those things, things work a little bit better. We thank God. Thank God for all that are here this morning. I want to work out of the book of Matthew in the 14th chapter. And we're going to stay in the same frame of trusting God, because this is what it's about. If we can build the trust level up in God that we had in our mamas when she was carrying us around as babies. I look at little Mari. Mari trusts her mama. You know, daddy points at her and makes her sit down. He points so hard this morning, I thought he was talking to me. We have to understand that when God loves you, you got to trust him. I'm speaking from experience. And the Bible says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And about the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And that's my text today. Just come. I asked my wife this morning, if Peter was alive, what would he think was the greatest thing in his ministry he would like to be remembered for? And I was listening, and she says, you know, just being with Christ. And I said, yeah, that's a good one. And for me, this text means a lot. A lot of people don't understand, but going into ministry, you're going to step out on a word, come. We don't know how. We don't know where. We don't know what. But we're stepping out on the word. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. If we look at this situation, we see Jesus doing miracles for 5,000. And in the process of doing miracles, he transforms the heart of natural men into working and serving, taking them out of their natural avocation and becoming servants to feed the many. But after that, he decided to go and take a break. Somebody said Jesus took a break. We need to take a break sometime. Sometimes we get so caught up in doing what we think we're supposed to be doing, we forget about self-care. And in the struggle of forgetting about self-care, you cannot do what you need to do. You cannot pray effectively unless you've prayed for yourself. So we look at the scripture and we see that he took a break and he sent his people that were volunteers. This was not paid staff. Come on, y'all. We got paid praise teams, paid preachers, paid people to raise, you know, but this was volunteers. Church started out with volunteers. And so we looked at this and he sent them away in a ship. And this is odd because how was he going to get there? You know, and so they got out into this ship. And the ship began to get tossed. Now, they just got through working a miracle, but they're in a tossing situation. Anybody been there? Anybody been in a situation that things were blowing you left and right? Things was threatened? You know, all you can see with your eyes is doom. Everybody promising to cut you off. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. Is your life being tossed? And you no longer can see Jesus because you left him on shore. And so they were in this ship and they're so caught up into what was going on with them. Anybody been caught up having them pity parties? You know, old song, we were kids. I was a kid one time, and they used to sing this song, nobody likes me, everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. That's a pity party. A spiritual pity party is, where is Jesus? I'm out in the middle of this ship that he sent me out in. You got to understand, when you're going into ministry, you're sent. Because if you're not sent, it's a bust in the first place. You've seen this, people up with up churches. You're sent into this boat. And typically, you're sent there with a bunch of boat dwellers. Come on and tell God thank you this morning. It's interesting because all the disciples started out pretty much the same thing, got the same teaching, but only one could recognize Jesus. Most of them was satisfied in traditionally staying in the boat. Nothing wants me to get out of this boat into this water that I know will kill me. Do you understand this? And here comes Jesus walking on the water. But we're so caught up looking at our own problems, we can't see Jesus. We're so hung up not stopping and praying, just trying to do it our will, we can't see Jesus. And they couldn't recognize, and somebody said, this must be a ghost. I'm scared. This is a ghost. And Jesus had to calm them down. See, Peter wasn't sure either. Jesus had to calm them down by saying, be of good cheer. Somebody needs to be cheered up a little bit. You know, you go through day to day of setbacks. You need to hear something to say, be of good cheer. All is not lost. God is not forsaking you. He'll say it, I'll never leave you nor forsaken. Amen. So in the process of this, and he said, be of good cheer. Peter answered him, and he knew it was Jesus. Peter loved Jesus. You talk about a love affair. Peter loved Jesus fleshly. In other words, he would kill for Jesus. They was trying to get at Jesus one day, and Peter carried a knife. Peter carried a knife, y'all. Some of y'all used to be Peters. Cut the man's ear off. But our Jesus, our Savior, the Son of God, picked it up and put it back on. Sometimes we need forgiveness from doing the thing we think is right. But anyway, here we go. Peter was saying, bid me to come unto thee. See, this is it. I don't want to make a move until I hear the voice of God to tell me to. I don't want to get out my situation until I know it's God getting me out of the situation. Does this make sense? Biggest thing about the situation is that you're in it, and it's your flesh that is embarrassed, and it's your flesh that fears. You know, we get to place that we get caught up. I don't want to lose my house. You know, I don't want to lose my car. I don't want to lose these material things I've worked so hard to get. And so we get caught up. It's, what are people going to think? What are they going to think about me? Losing stuff. I'm supposed to be a preacher and I can't even keep my car. We have to let go and understand that without God, you wouldn't have had that car. Without God, you wouldn't have had that house. You got to look at the small things, the Jews call the tokens, the sunshine. Without God, you wouldn't have had the sunshine. Without God, you wouldn't have been able to get up this morning. So Peter said, bid me to come because I'm not going to do it unless I hear it from you. And Jesus said, come. Peter stepped out the boat. Now, boat dwellers was looking at Peter strange. You know, why step out of something dangerous, but it's showing us safer than standing on something that we know we can't survive in? Does this make sense? He's in a boat. Boat dwellers, you're going to have people tell you, they call them haters now. Them is boat dwellers. They tell them, you crazy to go to Africa. You crazy to go out here and talk to these thugs on the street. You crazy to open up a church in this economic time. But Jesus said, come. Peter climbed down out of the boat. One thing about boats, if you know anything, I used to be a foul weather sailor. That means I sailed in storms. And the hull was built different ways. These boats in the old days were built with, they had the deep hulls, which made the boat sit higher in the water. So typically, if you fell over, somebody got to throw a rope and drag you back in. That makes sense? So he stepped down out the boat according to the word. And he got to walking on the water. Look at Peter. He was walking on the water looking at Jesus. Some of us been walking on water looking at Jesus. Getting through college, business doing good, looking at Jesus. But then you start looking around at the weather, how the storm is bolstering and the wind is blowing, and all these other ships was out there is getting tossed and people was getting flipped over. Peter took his eyes off Jesus. We stepped out on the word come, but the responsibility is to keep your eyes on Jesus. When you take your eyes off Jesus, nothing you have and nothing you've done matters anymore. When you take your eyes off Jesus, the word come now has you operating on your own word. That makes sense this morning? Come on and tell God thank you this morning. This is what we're talking about. Peter, as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to deal with the impossible. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, anatomically impossible things happen. The insoluble possibilities of water could hold his body up as long as he saw Jesus. Things are not going to be perfect. But as long as you keep your eyes on King Jesus, you're going to make it through. Flesh is going to tell you how you're going to get through the day. You know, and the older you get, it don't get no easier. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because you get to thinking, man, I'm too old to be going through this. Why me? Because we're being perfected by every test that God gives us. He wants to see how you're going to handle it. And if you handle it with Jesus, you'll be successful. Every test you get, God is looking at, are you going to take me with it? Old song, take me through. Dear Lord, take me through. We need to be taken through these storms. Because I realized something. There's a blessing on the other side of through. Once you go through this with Jesus, you're going to be blessed for your mess. No matter how messy it is, God's going to clean it up and bless you with it. Oh, come on and tell God thank you this morning. It looks like it's impossible. Hallelujah. It don't look like it's going to work out. Can't nobody tell you nothing to make you feel good about your situation. Can't nobody push no buttons. Ain't enough money. Hallelujah. But oh, thank God for Jesus this morning. Amen. Ah, it's the God in him that makes it possible for us. Oh, he did this for me. 2,000 years ago. I didn't even know I was coming. I didn't know I was coming, but he did. He knew I was going to be in these situations. In the heavens, the old folks say, God created heaven and earth. And he said, I want to give everybody an opportunity to have the relationship with me that Adam had. He said, I need someone to go. And the word said, I'll go. Prepare me a body. He prepared a body. And he said, I need to demonstrate a path. He said, I'll go. So he demonstrated the path. He said, I need a human sacrifice so we can quit killing doves and oxen. And Jesus said, I'll die. And he said, I need to show a miracle over the finality of life. And Jesus said, I'll rise again. This is what we understand now. Jesus has risen. This is the challenge of trust. Do you trust that he's risen this morning? Do you really trust that he's made that last call and said, grave, where's your victory? Death, where's your sting? If you can serve a God that's got the control over death. Now, this is interesting. Jesus calmed the waters. Why was everybody scared to get out the boat? This man spoke to the water. This is what we're saying today. Until you have developed yourself to trust God in any situation, your flesh is going to create fear. Day and night fear. I'm going to use the word tripping all night long. Can't go to sleep. Living with the what ifs. Living on human promises. Brother, you be here by 3:15 tomorrow afternoon, standing right on that corner on Cloverdale, and I'm going to come by with a check with your name on it. 3:17, you're there. 9 o'clock at night, you still waiting on him. The Bible says, put no trust in the flesh. The trust that we got to have is in the Word of God this morning. The trust that we need this morning is the promise. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Ministry is a tough job. I'm gonna tell you that. I've been doing it for over 20-something years. I've operated a ministry for 20 years, my wife and I. And it never gets easy. And you never know it all. Does it make sense? You know, you've never been there and done that. You've been there and you're doing it again. In a different way. But if God has called you, trust on him. Don't put no trust in yourself. Just get up. I get up every morning and I tell God, you got me up, I'm going. Was some mornings I couldn't get up. And I promise God, if you let me get up one more time, I'll get up for you from then on. In conclusion of this message, God is telling some of us to come this morning. We got to get rid of the fear. Fear is crippling. Fear makes you stand still and get shot. I'd rather be running. You know, catch me in a sprint. Don't catch me staring. I trust God this morning, church. I needed this worship. I needed this worship because as we walk through this life, trusting God is going to be the issue for our survivability. Our survivability. I went to the doctor this week and I went all day long and they told me everything was okay. But I still coughing and still felt bad. And then I got home and I said, they didn't look at me long enough. And so I got to thinking, I said, now, if they've done all they can do, you better trust God for the rest. I am placing my trust in God this morning. I don't have no fear no more. I'm comfortable with the outcome. How many comfortable with the outcome? If you're in God's hands, are you comfortable with the outcome? I tried God one day, and he heard my cry. He looked on this poor man. He gave his ear to understand my condition. And he told me, son, I know where you're at already. I'm just waiting on you to call me. Stand with me, please.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.